Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, Brian, it is now time for our favorite part of the show where we turn things over to our dear listeners for the Twitter mailbag. Before we do that, though, because we value our listeners so much, I want to let them in on a hot tip. And that is, if you're looking for a good spot for wings in the DFW area, Boomer Jacks. Tuesday and Wednesday, wing deals. You can get half-price bone-in wings on Tuesday, half-price boneless wings on Wednesday. And regardless of the wing specials, any time of the week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, whatever, Boomer Jacks is the perfect spot. Whether you're looking for like a good happy hour spot for you and your coworkers, you're looking for somewhere to watch the game with your guys, or maybe you're just looking for a nice night out with the family, Boomer Jacks, perfect spot. Wall-to-wall TVs, any sort of sport, any game you're wanting to watch, it's there. It is ice cold beer. It is perfect live music. Just the perfect atmosphere for any sort of social setting that you're looking at. 17 DFW locations. You can find yours at boomerjacks.com. So head over to boomerjacks.com. And thank you again to Boomer Jacks for sponsoring The Love of the Star. Brian, let's jump into some of these questions here from our listeners. First one from JD. Do people within the building see the offensive differences from the week one and week two starts and think they need to do more to help Dak and not rely on him doing it all himself, much as he has the last few years? So Mike McCarthy kind of pushed back against this a little bit with Sean and RJ, our teammates over at 105 Through the Fan on Friday when he talked to them, saying that, look, I don't think there's a lot that we're actually drawing up differently with the offense with Cooper Rush in there. I mean, maybe a little bit, but it's not wildly different. I think the bigger factor here is Cooper Rush isn't seeing the same looks from defenses that Dak is part of what this is. I think if Dak saw the looks that Cooper Rush saw in week two, Dak probably has similar or greater success in that game. But yeah, I think that hopefully they realize that they can't just get rid of guys like Amari Cooper and replace him with nobody and go, well, we should have the same exact offensive output.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about that. You know, but it's a little on Dak too to be accurate throwing the football. And it's, you know, but that comes with having confidence in the receivers, that has confidence in the left tackle, confidence in the right tackle, confidence in, you know, everybody involved, confidence in the play caller. You know, when you want to talk about offensive problems, it's not just one thing that plagues the Cowboys at times. It's, you know, you can point the finger at Dak. You can point the finger at maybe CeeDee Lamb being a little late, getting off his jam. You know, you can point the finger at Kellen Moore for not sticking with something that he needs to in order to help Dak. So it's not just one thing that plagues the Cowboys at times. It's a multitude of things. And this team, especially with Cooper Rush, man, it is hard. Now, something's really going on strange here because you look at the Tampa game, first 15, man, offense looked great. Look at the first 15 against Cincinnati. Offense looked great. You know, Cooper Rush does what you ask him to do. Dak Prescott asks what you ask him to do. So, I mean, I think this is on Kellen Moore. Whatever you're dialing up in the first 15 to open these games, maybe circle those plays. Come back to those plays. Because those you're having some success you know, getting that going. And maybe when the offense bogs down a little bit, that's something you can kind of hang your hat on.
What's the advantage of scripting plays to start games? Because the Cowboys, everybody generally does that. And yeah. So is that some of the reason potentially for some of this early success is the script?
I think so. Yeah, because what happens is the players know going into the game, you work on these plays. Okay, the night before the game, like right now when they're meeting there in at the hotel in New Jersey, they're talking about, okay, here are the first 15. And Dak knows them. You know, Cooper Rush knows them. Kellen Moore knows them. Everybody knows the first 15. The wide receivers know them. The offensive line knows them. I mean, you can just, in your mind, you have, you know, you're seeing that picture of, okay, this is what we have to do. If we get this coverage, this is what we're going to do. We get that front, this is what we're going to do. So, yeah, they've done a great job. I mean, they have opened games. I mean, they got 10 points off two opening drives already this year. You know, I'd say that's a pretty good start to the season when you start to talk about getting drives on or points on opening drives.
Next question here from Titanic Gambler. He's asking, two games in, what is the biggest good surprise on the team and what is the biggest disappointment? His answers are, he'd say Tyler Smith is the good surprise. Dak's play is the disappointment. I guess my biggest disappointment is I thought that from all the chatter that CeeDee Lamb was giving us leading up to the regular season, I expected more assertiveness from him. I think if you want to look at another disappointment, I think Jalen Tolbert's been really disappointing that your third round pick can't get on the field. Those are disappointing aspects. That I think the biggest good surprise, I want to say Tyler Smith, but I thought Tyler Smith was going to generally, I think you talked to him, we talked to him, we hear the way he approaches things. It's like, that's the guy who's going to make it. You kind of felt like after you got to know him a little bit, like, okay, that guy's going to have some success. So I don't know how surprised I am by that. I guess Noah Brown went from training camp star to somebody that they could actually rely on, because he's been training camp star before. And this is the first year where he's taken it into games where they have absolutely needed him these first 2 weeks. So give me Noah Brown for the good surprise, the disappointment, a combo of, I guess, CeeDee Lamb and Jalen Tolbert.
Yeah, the good surprise, and maybe not a surprise, but the fact that Micah Parsons is even better than Micah Parsons was as a rookie. That's I mean, that you're seeing things with Micah Parsons. Now, you don't see the tackles, you know, and that's okay, but you see the pressures, you see the sacks, you see how they're using him. That the surprise is that he's even better. You're thinking, like, how can he get better than he was last year?
And he is.
He's getting better. The disappointment to me is that, yeah, I put a lot on Dak. He played very poorly against Tampa Bay. And then he gets hurt. That to me, and I'm not trying to pile on Dak. If you go back and listen to me on 105.3 The Fan, you go back and listen to these podcasts, I really thought that Dak was going to put a lot of this stuff behind him, you know, a lot of the injury stuff, that he was going to be a different player and all that. And I felt like if he had a chance to play against Cincinnati in week two, we would probably saw a bounce back game the way Cincinnati was playing. But to me, that's the disappointment, that he's not in this game tonight where they sure could use him. And, you know, because he owns the NFC East.
When he does. Plays,
he owns the NFC East. And the next two games are against NFC East opponents. And, you know, you could have surely, you know, to be 3-1 going into that Rams game. I mean, that's because Philadelphia, I think, Bobby, they're not going away. Unless they have a major.
I feel confident sitting here on September 26th. Philadelphia is winning the division, I think. That's my call right now. I think Dallas can still turn the season around, contend for a wild card, but Philly's not a paper tiger. That's a real contender.
No, Philadelphia, and I'll admit it, I thought, you know, their quarterback wasn't as good, you know, and you're seeing, you know, even yesterday he missed on some passes, but at points in time in the game, he threw a very good ball. Philadelphia is not going to go away unless they get major injuries. The one thing the Cowboys have kind of dealt with right now is major injury to their quarterback. Philly's had a history too where they've lost players along the way, you know, so we'll see how it plays out. But you can't go into this thing losing to the Giants and then losing, you know, maybe losing a game to the Commanders and expect to be fighting for this division. You've got to, even with Cooper Rush, You've got to take advantage of your roster's better right now than the Giants. Your roster is probably better than the Commanders. Now we'll see what happens with the Rams and Philly, but you can't let this division get too far away.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm just going to tell you right now, Brian, while the roster is better, and I know they struggled this week, Commanders, they got some weapons, actually.
I started
doing a cursory look at them. So I think when you give them a look, you're going to go, oh, there's some problems here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They've got some problems, but they've also got a quarterback that just is not very good.
Yes. That's the
best. And I wouldn't be surprised, you know, and maybe it's even after the, the Dallas game. If in fact it Carson Wentz, they lose that game. I could see the end of Carson Wentz here within the next 3 weeks as quarterback for the Commanders.
You mentioned there that Micah Parsons is the good surprise, that he has gotten better. So 4 sacks through 2 games. If I were to give you 20 sacks, do you think?
I would have said under. I mean, if you're talking about doing.
Let me give you 17 and a half as the over under for Parsons the rest of the way. So that would give him 13 and a half in the final 15 games. So over under 17 and a half sacks this season. What are you going for Parsons?
I would probably still, man, I think he's somewhere between 14 and 16 is where I would guess. Okay. 14, 15, 16 is kind of where I think.
If he gets 2 tonight, are you changing your tune?
You know what? I'd have to. I mean, you know, you're at, you know, the thing about it is, I mean, he's getting a little nicked up. You know, he's dealing with the toe. He's dealing with the knee. You know, he got sick. You know, I mean, he's going to go out there and play great. You know, he is when he's on the field. I just worry about teams saying, listen, I'm not going to let you beat us in this game this week. You know, and they load up on him. Now, that means Armstrong. We've seen Armstrong have some success. Tank needs to get going a little bit. Osa inside.
Dante Fowler.
I mean, I think Dante Fowler could have a big game tonight. Fowler
needs more reps. He's been really productive.
He's been very productive. I said earlier that I thought Armstrong was going to have a breakout year, and I was glad to see him get the 2 sacks and be more consistent. But Fowler, to me, looks like a better player right now.
Absolutely. I agree with that. Next question here from one of our loyal listeners, at StevieJPTX. How does the Giants having Ojulari and Thibodeau available change the Cowboys' approach on offense? Yeah. I don't know that it changes the Cowboys' approach on defense. I think it does change Wink Martindale's approach on offense. I think it does change Wink Martindale's approach on defense, though, because I think that he should have more success getting home with his front four and not have to just dial up blitzes to make it happen. But, yeah, sure. I think that you know, while it doesn't change Dallas's approach on offense, they're going to have to execute for sure if Thibodeau and Ojulari are able to generate pressure.
Yeah, no, that's it. That's going to be the key for the Giants tonight. And they do have an advantage. Ojulari and Thibodeau, I would have to say, are better than Steele and Smith. Now, which group, if Steele and Smith hold up tonight, Cowboys win this football game. There's no question about it. They've got to, though. They cannot let those two come into this game and hit Cooper Rush in the back and have the ball come flying out of his hand and short field drives. Both teams are susceptible to problems with that can be created by the other's defense, especially at the defensive end spot.
Who do you think gives Dallas more problems, Ojulari on Steele or Thibodeau on Smith?
I think Ojulari is going to be the problem. I think Ojulari is going to be the problem tonight.
It's coming from Georgia, right?
What's yeah, Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I tell you what, you watch him play and, you know, the Giants stole him when they drafted him. They really did. I mean, he's a nice football player. The key tonight for them will be conditioning, though. When they're not on the field, when Ojulari and Thibodeau are not on the field, you have to take advantage of that if you're the Cowboys.
Question here from Deep Fried Sexy. I'm just asking this question because I wanted to say Deep Fried Sexy. We as fans tend to oversimplify when we ask, why don't they just send Turpin on a 9 route to loosen up the defense? What is the reality that we don't understand?
The reality is, like, you're sending a 5-5 receiver down the field on a vertical 9 route, you know, with now the catch radius is not very big either. So if you turn this thing into a 50-50 ball, like we've talked about with Gallup, okay, and say the corner does stay and you throw it, now the corner has the advantage because of, you know, the corner because of the height. And all of a sudden, now how about, you know, if you want to say throw the ball, you know, down the middle of the field, you know, maybe you can run through and just let him run under it like he would a punt. But if you turn this thing into a 50-50 ball, say on the sidelines, there's a possibility he's going to lose because of the lack of the catch radius, and he's going to lose because of the lack of the height, and then it turns into a turnover. That's
Would you like to see more involvement on offense, though?
I would, but not at the expense of Pollard, because I think Pollard can make more plays. I think Pollard is more of a – I rely on him more with the catch. The run after catch, both are tremendous, but I'm not taking away Pollard opportunities for Turpin. I'm just not doing that.
That does it for us here on the Love of the Star podcast. We appreciate you guys sending your questions. We appreciate Boomer Jacks for sponsoring us. Looking forward to this game tonight. Like I said, probably going to be a little bit of an ugly one, but we will have a short week. I know on the flight back overnight tonight, Brian, I'll try and get started on Washington already. Yep. We're going for a week. We got just 2 shows between the end of this one and Washington. So we will see you guys again on Wednesday.